And happy to have right now for our alumni spotlight segment, Dave Pizzulli joining us. How you doing, Dave?
Doing great, Vic. Thanks. Thanks for having me here.
Former Browns nose tackle, and Dave, it's funny that position is the classic grunt spot in this game where people talk about, you know, players who can score touchdowns and you know, catch passes and do all that fun stuff. And even the offensive linemen, I mean, they could be part of a score. A nose tackle is just in there basically to take a beating.
Absolutely, Vic. You know, and it's like my relatives back east. You know, I'm an Italian guy, and my relatives, how they used to brag about me was, hey, that Davey can really take a beating, can he? He can take a beating like none others.
That was your claim to fame.
Yeah, that was my claim to fame. Nice. That's how they bragged about me. So.
Well, you look pretty good for a guy who took some beatings in the course of a football career.
Thanks, Vic.
Yeah, you're holding up okay. So let's talk about your time with the Browns, 1983 to 87. And it was a time, really, the last time that people look at this team, Bernie Kosar at quarterback, a team that offered that sense of hope and competitiveness and all those things. Just reflect on some of your best memories from then, Dave.
Yeah. You know, looking back, Vic, it's like who knew that would be an era where we were so close to getting to the Super Bowl, making the Final Four, so to speak. But who knew that, you know, once that era expired, that there would be, you know, such tough times ahead. No one knew that at the time. So almost looking back, you know, I know some fans cherish that time because we were in the hunt, so to speak. I know we cherish it. The playoffs, I can tell you guys that the playoffs, the NFL playoffs in Cleveland, Ohio, is a thing to behold. I mean, the town just goes absolutely crazy, and it's an exponential thing. How you can see how excited the team is, and the fans are, and say the season opener. Well, you have to times that by about 10 for
sure.
The playoffs, and those are the best memories, and you know, agonizing in some ways that we came so close, but also, you know, we cherish them because I think all the guys know, and we're a very close group that played together back in that day. We know we left it all on the field, and it wasn't quite in the cards for us to go to the Super Bowl. But, you know, we did the best we could, but the great memories.
I talk about the grittiness of your position of nose tackle, but it's the grittiness of that whole defense, I think, that really defined a good portion of that team, right? And you came aboard. I mean, they brought you in at 83 as a sixth-round pick from University of Pittsburgh, and you, as you say, you come from Greenwich, Connecticut. You brought that very tough working class background with you, but you must have felt at home on a team where the defense was in a town defined that way.
Oh, absolutely, Vic. You know, you look at the guys we had. I mean, we had you know, like a guy like Mike Johnson came in from the USFL, and you know, Big Daddy Harrison came in, your old friend from the Eagles.
Covered him in Philadelphia, yep.
Yeah, and, you know, well, Clay was a first-round draft choice, and he was maybe he was one of the few guys that was a first-round draft choice that kind of, you know, we built the defense around, kind of the cornerstone. But a lot of guys came in from a lot of different angles. Reggie Camp was a third-round pick and, you know, had some great years. We had a guy, remember Curtis Weathers, an outside linebacker that ended up having some great years for us, and I think he was 11th-round pick. So we really had kind of a mishmash, and then Minnie came in from the USFL, and you know, it just kind of all came together. But you're right, I mean, we weren't this team that on paper was all the first round picks with the guys with the celebrated college careers, and everything was lined up. We were just a bunch of guys that came together and knew how to scrap, and we fed off each other real well. So that was a key.
Yeah, and to have guys like Clay Matthews behind you and some of the other linebackers that were on that team, Dave, what was it for you as a nose tackle, your mindset? Because basically that position, if you're doing it right, you're allowing them to make plays. You're occupying, tying up blockers, right? Give me a sense of the role you played.
Well, absolutely. And actually, Bob Golic was, you know, he was an all-pro at the time, and he probably did that as good as anybody in the league in terms of occupying a few blockers and keeping them off the linebackers. You know, those guys don't like those big linemen coming off on him if we can hold him up a little bit. So Bob was, you know, really the best at that. And I think my role for most of the mid-'80s was to relieve Bob. I gave him breaks. But I also played, you know, in different positions at tackle and end, as we started to use a bear defense. Marty brought in the Chicago Bear defense, and we did some experimenting with that. And then I was the fourth defensive lineman coming in. So, we were actually just in that era kind of getting away from the real strict vanilla 3-4 defense where the nose guard had so much so much responsibility to keep blockers off the linebackers. But Golic did a fantastic job at that.
Dave Pezzulli, former Browns nose tackle, defensive lineman, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So, Dave, yeah, is that experimentation, let's get into that a little bit, because Marty Schottenheimer brings different ideas than are previously in place when he's aboard as head coach and wanted to expand, right, the basic
Correct.
Defensive plan. And talk about that from how from the perspective of what you were seeing from offenses and why that was being utilized and how it was working.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, back 30 years ago, it's the 60-40 thing. It was 60-40 run back in the 60s and 70s. And then through the 80s was, I would say, that transition period. And then in the 90s and the last decade or so, it's been 60-40 pass. So you could see that transition. And so when that was the Jim Kelly type of offense, that run and gun.
Yeah, K-gun.
The K-gun, absolutely. These guys just had the ability too often to drive down the field against a very vanilla 3-4, also called the Okie defense. So there was definitely and it still is today, you see it, just an emphasis on trying to get some heat on the passer, because these guys are just – they're just too good. They're
right.
Too accurate at the NFL level. And the receivers can get open, and you just have to, it's 3 seconds, and someone has to get a hand on a quarterback in 3 seconds or so, or you have trouble. So there was definitely that mindset to put more heat on the passer.
What do you remember about the personalities that you were surrounded by? Just give me a feel for the makeup of that team, because there were a lot of interesting characters on that those Browns teams at that time.
Oh, absolutely, Vic. And I mean, I'm just smiling thinking about it.
I saw.
I could just think
how much can you tell me? I guess is the key here. How much can we share with the public?
That's true. We'll let out a little bit, but even our core group would be the defensive linemen, and we had. Sam Clancy, who was a great character. He was a outstanding basketball player in college, and was an outstanding NFL player as well. But he was a real fun guy, and Big Daddy Hairston. And they used to call me Salami, like from there was a show, The White Shadow, that the white guy in the team was called Salami. So they called me Salami. But we had so many fun nicknames. And, I mean, I can't tell you how much sometimes our – meeting room, it was like our defensive line coach was more of a babysitter than a coach, because I mean, you guys would be in wrestling matches, sleeper holes, and watch the wrestling the night before. I mean, throwing stuff at each other. So I mean, it's Tom Pratt was our defensive line coach, and yeah. I always I think that guy should be canonized as a saint before he dies for putting up with us. But he always did in such a great and even-tempered way, and he let us have fun. And Big Daddy Hairston was one of the greatest greatest players here. I remember, as a defensive lineman, he was just a guy that, I mean, if I could say, I mean, he did not have the body that you see on a lot of these
yeah.
big defensive
right.
linemen who are chiseled and they can run like the wind, like these guys from the Giants, like their defensive line.
He average-looking physique,
average
really.
Looking
I mean,
physique,
big man, but...
At
but,
best.
At best, right, right.
Not that I could talk, but, he would literally, if I could say, like, go out and these other guys would be in the weight room all day, and he might lift a few. He had these few little light dumbbell lifts he'd do. Then he'd go down and have a couple scotches, and he'd wake up in the morning and kick everyone's butt that lifted all night. So I don't know how it made sense, but he just had he just was a genius.
Naturally
at
blessed
his craft, absolutely. Yeah, the thing was the story about him too. When he was in college, his college didn't even give him. Sweats to work out for the pro scouts when they came down, and one pro scout came down, and he was in his dress clothes coming from class, and dress shoes and everything, and the scout said, "Hey, I thought we were working out," and Big Daddy said, "Hey, the facility's closed. I can't even get in there, but the field was open." So he said, "But I'll run for you anyway in my street shoes," and he ran a 4.6. So
that's
the legend.
Dave, tell us what you're up to today, where you're living these days. I know you're in the Cleveland area, so give us an update.
Yeah, I'm living 5 minutes from the facility here. My wife and I, we were married in 1985 and wanted to buy a home close to where the Browns practice in Berea, and we live right across the border there in Strongsville, right up Sprague Road. We've lived there ever since, and we're happy there. I work for a medical imaging company. We sell MRIs and CT scanners. So it's good for the free neurological testing every once in a while I can get for myself.
There you go.
So, and some of my buddies. So,
good. No, that's a critical thing. It's a critical thing,
yeah,
yes.
Saves a little cash there. But,
beautiful.
It's, you know, I've been there about 18 years. They're based out in Hudson, King's Medical, and it's a great company. So I've really been blessed.
Well, we're so happy to have you here to visit with you, and let's do this again down the line.
Thank you, Vic. It's great catching up with you. I know we have a lot of mutual friends and your travels, and I enjoyed being here today.
All right. He is Dave Pezzulli, former Browns nose tackle, defensive lineman, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12. In stores now, EA Sports, it's in the game.